Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 78, and we're currently in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day, with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now, we have been looking at verse 11, which told us the ark of God was taken, and that statement is made five times in this chapter. Definitely, that is the big focus of what we're reading, what God wants to get across to us. This is the time when the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, was taken forcibly by the enemies of Israel and went into the land of the Philistines. And we've mentioned it, and it's good to mention it again, that this battle in which the ark is taken captive is picturing the end of the church age. And the ark of God represents the presence of God dwelling with his people. And when the Philistines captured and took the ark, it signified the removal of God's presence from his people Israel, and that in turn pictures the removal of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, from the New Testament churches and congregations at the end of the church age when the Great Tribulation began. And that's the spiritual picture here that God is driving home through this historical parable. And the next part of the verse, or the last part of verse 11, goes on to say, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And God had already declared that this would happen. If we go back to 1 Samuel 2 and verse 25, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against Jehovah, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because Jehovah would slay them. That's referring to Hophni and Phinehas, as Eli was attempting to talk some sense into them, and they didn't listen, they didn't obey their father, and God warns about not honoring your father, not obeying your parents, and no good thing will ever come of it. And here Eli is giving admonishment to his two sons. He has heard their evil report, and yet it didn't matter. They had closed their ears. They knew better. They were going the way they were going to go, stubbornly, rebelliously, and it didn't matter what their father said. It didn't matter what the word of God said, so why should it matter what their father said? And yet, it also tells us that they did not hearken because Jehovah would slay them. That is, it was within God's plan for the day to come that we're reading about in chapter 4, in which Hophni and Phinehas will be killed. And we understand this, that God is the one who's in complete control of permitting someone to continue in a sin, or God can restrain an individual from sin. God can grant repentance so that a person turns from sin and as a result would turn from the direction that they're heading, which is death. Or God can lift his hand of restraint and they just continued on. And the road that Hophni and Phinehas set for themselves, a road of disobedience, a pathway that led them to foolishness in taking the ark into battle, and a road that departed from God and from the help of God and the protection of God and the blessing of God. And so they met their end as God was fighting against them and all Israel. And this also pictures the church. God allowed the churches and congregations to continue in the course that they had set for centuries when they went astray through high places of erroneous doctrines and teachings. And these things became embedded in confessions and creeds, in the theologies of the denominations. God permitted it. And even though the Bible speaks of him giving space for them to repent, they did not repent. They did not turn. And again, it's for the same reason, because Jehovah would slay them. It was God's plan to one day come visit the congregations, to hold them accountable for their transgressions against his law, and to release Satan, to loose Satan, who came against the churches and congregations. Now, that's one thing we do want to get clear, because Hophni and Phinehas are two men, and we know in the New Testament that once Satan is loosed, he's the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. And it says in Revelation 11 that once he ascended up out of the pit. Let's read that in Revelation 11, verse 7. I'll read verse 6 and 7. These have power to shut heaven, referring to the two witnesses, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, we know absolutely, there's no question about this. Some people, in some of the confusion following May 21, have revisited this chapter, and they're insisting that verse 7, which speaks of the death of the two witnesses, took place on May 21, 2011. That is incorrect. It is completely wrong. And the fact that the beast, which is Satan's name that God has given him exclusively for the duration of the Great Tribulation, that the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit to make war with them and kills them, that tells us it must be at the very beginning of the end of the church age, at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, because that is the point in which Satan was loosed and ascended out of the bottomless pit that we read about in Revelation chapter 20. It says in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired or finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And so he, in Revelation 13, Well, I'm not going to go there, but that's sufficient. That's sufficient. He was bound for 1,000 years, which is a figurative amount of time representing the completeness of his binding from the cross. That's when he began to be bound until he was loosed at the end of the church age, May 21, yes, but in the year 1988. That was the end of the church age after 1955 years. That's when Satan was loosed, and immediately he comes up out of the bottomless pit and he goes right for his constant focus, which is the house of God. That's all he's concerned about. And he overcomes the two witnesses and kills them. Now, Satan was not placed back in a pit in any sense at any time after that. We don't read that in the Bible. And so when people are saying, well, the two witnesses were killed by the beast on May 21, 2011, they just have all sorts of things jumbled up. Number one, the beast is victorious here, and on May 21, 2011, the beast is defeated. It's the day that he is put down, deposed from his position of authority. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was victorious in saving all the elect. It's a great day of victory for the kingdom of God. And here in Revelation 11:7, it's a defeat where the two witnesses are slain. That's one insurmountable problem. The second insurmountable problem in this very verse is it is the time when the two witnesses are slain that the beast ascends out of the pit, and that is only when he is initially loosed at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, again at the end of the church age. And he is never placed back into the pit. He did not ascend out of the pit May 21, 2011 in any sense. So we can know that Revelation 11:7, we've understood this correctly, that Family Radio has taught this properly, and there's no need to make any correction on this particular verse. It's good that we go back and we re-examine things and check things out to make sure that we understood them correctly, but make changes for the sake of changes. And I'm afraid what some have done is that they have it in their minds, well, we were killed. That's what happened on May 21. We were killed. The world killed us. Satan killed us. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the case. If Satan is the one that has done this, then shame on us for not going forth with the gospel. If Satan is the one who is keeping us back from ministering the word, then there would be no good thing involved with this at all. But it's not Satan. He didn't conquer us. He wasn't victorious on that day. He was victorious when he overcame the two witnesses, because God gave him the victory over the church. But we are not going forth at this time because it's the will of God. It is God's doing. It has nothing to do with being defeated, nothing at all. And anyway, we came here because two witnesses are slain simultaneously. It's a vivid illustration of the end of the church age, and we're reading in 1 Samuel 4 of two men, Hophni and Phinehas, that are slain in battle, and that particular battle relates to the end of the church age, because the Ark of the Covenant is taken, and when Satan was loosed, the abomination of desolation, when he entered in just prior to that, in a spiritual transaction that God made, the Holy Spirit came out of the churches. And so there is a relationship between 1 Samuel 4 and Revelation 11, but I would not say, and I don't think we can say, that Hophni and Phinehas are pictures of the two witnesses. Number one, they are unfaithful men. And the two witnesses are referred to as the two anointed ones in the book of Zechariah. A good way of looking at them would be Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. They represent the sending forth of the gospel that God did send forth during the church age. And then that witness, that ministry of God in evangelizing the world during the church age and bringing in the spiritual first fruits of all those that became saved at that time was accomplished. And so it wasn't due to their unfaithfulness or their rebelliousness or anything like that that they end up being slain. It's simply the time of their witness had come to an end. Their testimony was finished. And that is not the case with Hophni and Phinehas. They are not picturing the two witnesses. And another reason is that the two witnesses, when they're killed, their bodies lie dead in the street. And we don't have that kind of historical type in 1 Samuel 4. We actually don't read what happened to their bodies, but we can gather that they were buried, that they weren't just lying out there, that they would have been buried. Well, anyway, going back to 1 Samuel 4, let's go into the next verse, verse 12. And it says, "And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head." Now here, a man of Benjamin ran out of the army. And this is fairly common, and we'll look at some of the examples. Well, why don't we look at one right now? In 2 Samuel 18, there was a civil war between David and his forces and his son Absalom and their forces. And it says in 2 Samuel 18, beginning in verse 21, after Absalom was slain and David's army had basically won the battle, it says in verse 21, "Then said Joab to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi." And it so happens that in this account that there's a watchman back where David is, and they're keeping an eye out, and they report that there's a man running with tidings, and then those two runners return and give their report. And it was fairly common practice during a battle for a messenger to be sent with information to the king or to the people of the city that did not go into the battle. And so this man of Benjamin is someone who's come out of the army and he's running. Now, let's also look at this verse, because when we find words in the Bible, we know that they're not there accidentally, and they're certainly not there for no purpose. Everything has meaning in the Bible, and so does the word run. A good verse to help us understand this word is found in Psalm 119 and verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 32 says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." And this is telling us that God has given commandments. The Bible is a book of commandments. And when God saves an individual, here referred to as the time when our heart is enlarged, then we can run the way of the commandments of God. The Bible also refers to walking in the truth, walking in the light, walking after God's commandments. It is action when we walk, when we run. We're moving forward. In this case, we are doing the will of God. So God gives the word. Great is the company of those that publish it. Now, God also says, remember that verse in Romans 9:16, when he speaks of his mercy, his salvation, and he says it's not of him that runneth. And that's an important statement. We do not experience the grace of God, the salvation of God, according to how we run the way of his commandments. We can be very zealous. We can be very diligent and trying to obtain righteousness by doing the will of God, and it will never work. So God very significantly makes that statement in Romans 9:16 that his salvation is not of him that runneth. But, however, the child of God runs the way of his commandments out of love, out of a desire to do the will of God, because he has enlarged our heart. He has placed that desire within us. And so when we find the messenger who's running with tidings, running with information from the battle, well, we can see how this would relate to the gospel, because battles typify the gospel battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And certainly in the case of 1 Samuel 4, it is enormous tidings that the man of Benjamin ran with. Now, before we discuss that a little bit more, let's also consider that he's a man of Benjamin. And the name Benjamin means son of my right hand. And Jacob gave his son that name, son of my right hand. But Christ is often referred to as the one seated at the right hand of God. And he is the Son of God, and God is the Father. And there he is the son of God's right hand. So the man who's running with tidings, let's read this again. In 1 Samuel 4:12, and there ran a man of Benjamin, a man of the son of my right hand. In other words, pointing to someone who would have relationship to Christ, someone who probably is a child of God, coming with an important message, and he is running out of the battle. Now, we know, of course, since we've read this chapter, we know what the message is. The message is the ark of God has been taken, as well as 30,000 more Israelites slain, as well as Hophni and Phinehas killed in the battle. It is an awful message. Yet this verse is telling us that it is God's will, and it was, and we can know it. It was his purpose and continues to be his purpose that the message of judgment on the churches and congregations be proclaimed. That when we shared this information from the Bible with people, when we told them, look, the church age is over and God is commanding his people to depart out of the midst of the congregations, those in Judea are to flee to the mountains, or those in the churches are to get out quickly, urgently, as soon as possible. Why? Well, the reason is that Satan has entered in and the Holy Spirit has departed. The Holy Spirit has removed himself. The Holy Spirit is gone. We are not to remain. This was the message that God's people ran with as part of the information that he opened up during the time of the Great Tribulation, when he took the seals off of the Bible and revealed to us that he was not there, that he was not present in any church or congregation in the world. And so we can see that this is exactly what's happening in this historical parable. As there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. We'll continue looking at this verse and in the following verses, Lord willing, in our next study tomorrow evening. But at this time, we're going to have to say goodnight.